God bless you today, beloved, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I wanted to start out today with an encouraging word because the rest of this message isn't going to be easy, praise the Lord. But I was seeking the Lord this morning, and He was showing me some things about the coming of the Lord. And the phrase that I read there in Matthew, when I did the devotion yesterday or day before, I believe, the phrase in Matthew where it says, "They did not understand until the flood came and swept them all away." I just couldn't and can't get it out of my spirit. And the Lord is really showing me some things about that. But before we get into that, I just want to encourage you that if God did not want to redeem us, then Christ would not have been crucified from the foundation of the world. We see that should be such an encouragement to us that before we were ever created, before we ever lived, before Adam and Eve were ever put in the garden, Jesus Christ was already in God's plan. In God's mind, He was already crucified. Everything is going according to God's plan. Everything. No matter what we do, no matter how many people rebel against God, everything has been foreseen. God has seen it all. He didn't make us do it, of course, but He's foreseen it. And everything has a purpose. Nothing happens by accident. And so I'm encouraged in my spirit today because even with this, what God was speaking to me this morning, I was somewhat overwhelmed and just thinking, oh God, have mercy on us. Oh my goodness, have mercy on us. Sometimes I can't really see the truth unless I'm under pressure or something is hurting my natural man. And then once again, it's like God pulls back the veil. And I see it, and it reminds me how Jesus said, take up your cross daily. Dying, giving up our own life, hating our own life, truly desiring the real gospel, the real cross, the real kingdom, is something that has to happen in our lives on a daily basis. It's not something that is, as popular Christianity has made it appear, it's not something that happens one time, and now you're sealed and ready to go to heaven. There is no such thing as that. There's no prayer you can pray to get you into heaven. Jesus said every day we have to count the cost and we have to take up our cross. I'm not preaching a salvation by our works to be righteous. But there's no doubt in the Word of God that if we don't persist believing until the end and looking to Him to finish the work, that we are in major trouble. And we'll end up in fire. Oh my goodness. In more ways than one. But I'm encouraged because I see that God's plan has always been to redeem us. And He brought me there to 2 Peter chapter 3, a very familiar portion of Scripture. And I didn't even realize today when He spoke that Scripture to me that that passage is also about the days of Noah. It's also about how the water came and swept them all away. And it tells us that God is not slack in keeping His promise. What is His promise? Jesus is going to return the same way He left. He ascended into the sky. He's going to come back for His people. And the Bible says in the last days, men will scoff and say, where is this so-called coming? But the Word of God says the reason it's delayed is because of God's great patience. He's long-suffering toward us, not wanting any of us to perish, but all of us to come to repentance. And it talks about Noah, it talks about the flood and the waters that came. And I get back to this verse here. Thank God He wants to redeem us, but we've got to understand the times. The Bible said, this is very important, let's meditate on this portion, and I want to just show you what the Spirit of God spoke to me. It's very heavy. But it says they didn't understand until the water came and swept them all away. Now, the Holy Spirit showed me several things here this morning I've never really seen or meditated on. First of all, they did understand once the water took them away. There was an understanding that they didn't have, the Bible says, until. So if you look at that, they didn't understand until, that means they did understand once the water took them away. But before that happened, they did not truly understand the truth. Oh my God, this is terrifying and grieving to me, not because of the way my mind is thinking about it, but because of what God has shown me about my own life and about the condition that the world is in and about the great deception that is in the so-called church, people believing that they're on the way to heaven because they're a Christian or because they've said a prayer and they don't understand the true cross. I didn't understand it. I was a pastor, very spiritual pastor, with lots of revelation, lots of visions, lots of spiritual things going on in my life, even seen many miracles. And still, I did not really grasp the true and full message of the cross. I did not hate my own life. I did hate my misery back when I was drinking and fornicating and those kinds of things. I didn't hate the drinking so much or the fornicating. As a matter of fact, and naturally, I enjoyed some of that. But what I hated was the misery that it brought. So in my estimation, I did hate my old life because I thought my old life was my sinful life. I didn't understand that when Jesus said, you must hate your own life, he wasn't talking to the drunk, though it applies to the drunk. He wasn't talking to the fornicator, the pornographer, or the whatever. He was actually talking to the Jews, the religious ones, the ones who were attempting to serve him, the ones who paid their tithes and tried to do what God said to do. He told them, if you don't hate your own life, you cannot be my disciple. And friend, this to me was eye-opening when the Holy Spirit began to show me, not what's wrong with other people. He began to show me what is wrong with all of us. And he showed me gently. It took him almost 25 years to really help me to see that the reason I came to God and the reason Adam, the reason mankind turns to God, is not because they hate the life of Adam. It's because they love the life of Adam and they want God to make it better. They want God to bless it. And he showed this to me about myself. He said, you didn't come to me because you hated your life. You came to me because you love your life and you want me to bless it. And you did not understand the true message of the cross. And the reason I didn't is because I really didn't hear it. I'm not saying I would have understood if I did hear it, but I didn't hear it. I didn't hear that being preached. I never heard a single message in my entire Christian life of anybody really expounding on what it means that you must hate your own life, that we must hate the life that came from our parents, the life that our mother has and our father, the life that our wife has and our children have. Christianity is not that. Christianity is to love the life of Adam, and it's all about how much God loves the life of Adam. And when the Lord really opened my eyes to the truth, oh my goodness, it rocked my world. It wasn't like my old revelation understand, oh man, this is amazing, praise God. It actually awoke my flesh, and I realized I don't even like God, much less love God. I realized truly that I am an enemy of God. I began to really contemplate the fact that most people will go to Hades. Most people will end up in torment, even the ones who think, especially the ones who think that they're not going there. Most of them, and when I began to contemplate my wife, my children being there, oh my goodness, and then myself being there, after all my efforts and all my belief in God and saying my prayers and asking Jesus in my heart, I began to see that I was in darkness. And then the whole world is in darkness. And they believe, most of them believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in the Jesus of the true Word of God. They don't believe in the Jesus that said, if you do not eat of me and drink of me, you have no life in you at all. There's nothing in you. Listen, God does not see something in you that he desires. There's nothing in us that he wants in his kingdom. If a man is born again, he's a brand new creation. He doesn't bring anything from the old. There's nothing we have to bring to God. There's no value in our fallen life that is an enemy of God. The cross is the end of us. It's the death of us. And baptism is the identification with our death and why we had to die and the rejection of our life. We must decrease, he must increase. The true gospel is not good news to Adam. Not if he wants to live, it's not. The true gospel is only good news to the man who doesn't love his life and doesn't want it anymore. Then it's good news. The good news is we are all under condemnation and all headed for hell. But Jesus took us to the cross and put us to death, that if we would put confidence in what he did and reject this enemy of God, this life of Adam, no matter how good it looks, no matter how polished it is, no matter how much better it is than somebody else's life of Adam, it is all the enemy of God, and none of it can enter into the kingdom. And man, when I began to understand, oh my goodness, it was so radical, the shift and the understanding. And I just wept that I could see. The Bible says that in the last days, many false prophets will arise. I thought a false prophet was like Jim Jones, you know, the Kool-Aid guy that got everybody to commit suicide. He was just a wacky guy to make us think that all the other people aren't false. Friend, I mean, the devil is not this big ugly thing with horns. He's beautiful and disguises himself as an angel of truth and light. The reason we have the real dark things like the heavy metal, the Charles Manson, the radical evil things, even like we in Halloween, all the fear and the ghosts and the goblins, it's to make us think that that is the devil, and that our normal life and our kindness to each other and our good atoms are not the devil. We don't understand that every single person, no matter how moral they are, no matter how good they are born an enemy of God, and they can't change it. And the only thing that can save an Adam is his own death and the receiving of a brand new life. Not a blessing for his old life, not a healing of his old life, not a saving of his old life, a crucifixion of his old life, and a believing in the new one. That's why we can't enter the kingdom unless we hate our own and our parents and our children's and our wives. When I began to really understand and accept the actual truth, I got so angry. I felt my wrath against God. I saw my kids. I had a vision. I saw my children. I saw my wife burning in torment. And oh my God, I got so angry at God. Why did you let this happen? Do you know most people will not enter the kingdom? Most people will go to hell. They will burn in the fire, especially those who think they're not going there, who think that they're good, who think that they're better than other people. I don't have time to get into all that, but I just want to meditate on this scripture. They didn't understand until the water swept them away. They were believing one thing because they were deceived. They were in darkness. The only thing that shook them out of the darkness, that woke them up, was being swept away by floodwaters. Then and only then did they realize the truth. They were deceived. I thought this today, and I felt the Spirit of God speaking to me. He said, do you really believe that Noah was the only man in the entire world who was praying, who was religious? No, friend. there were many people. There always has been. We get this idea that the whole world was running around naked and fornicating when the flood came. Friend, it was grandmas and grandpas and children and grandchildren. It was normal people. It was people who thought they were better than the other people. It was religious people, people who prayed, people who believed in God, people not, it wasn't what we think it was. It was just like it is today. That's why the Bible said, when the Lord comes, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. And it doesn't say they were running around naked and killing each other. It says that they were eating and drinking and being merry and giving in marriage. Oh my goodness, what's wrong with marriage? Why does it even mention that? What it's really saying is that they were enjoying their lives. They were loving the life of Adam. Just as in the days of Noah, so shall it be. When the Son of Man comes, they didn't understand all that. What were they doing? Eating, drinking, getting married, doing the normal things. Of course, the Old Covenant tells us their thoughts were evil continually. God could see that their life was wicked and impure. Their thoughts were full of violence. Oh my goodness, how our society today, my goodness, their thoughts were full of violence. And the Bible said they were eating and drinking and getting married, just living life. And they didn't understand until the water came and swept them all away. And I didn't, and the reason that this so impacted me today as God was speaking to me this morning is because I didn't understand until I entered into some deep trial and pain and suffering. When I really began to struggle and go through tremendous angst, tremendous darkness, tremendous discouragement, disillusionment, where everything I thought was falling apart, and I could see that what I believed was not true, what I believed was false. And really what shook me into this today, as I was saying earlier, sometimes only when I'm really pressed, when I'm really hurting, I'm really going through things, it's like the veil is just pulled back. And in a, I don't know why I'm using the word, but in a peaceful way, that's what, if it's just so simple. It's just God whispering and talking to me and saying, look at the truth. Yesterday I went to a funeral of one of my good friends, one of my best friends since I've been a Christian. I hired him as an associate pastor. He was my associate pastor for almost 5 years. And I went to the funeral, and in the funeral they mentioned how he loved Jesus and he was such a good man of God, and several different times, at least 4 times in the funeral, they mentioned how he led Bible studies several times, and not one time did they even mention that he had been an associate pastor. And I was sitting there thinking, why? This is glaringly absent. What is going on? Why are they not meant? They're talking about how godly. If you really want to talk about how godly somebody was, wouldn't you mention that they actually pastored a church? That they were an associate pastor of a church? And I said, God, why would they leave that out? And he reminded me of 2 things. One, while they were in our church, his wife had invited her son, some of her family, to the church. And that day, the Holy Spirit gave me a message. And it was entitled, God Hates You. But the whole message was about how God put to death the life we were born with so that we could have the life of Jesus that will reign forevermore. The first half of the message, I spent about 20, 30 minutes showing how we are all the workers of iniquity. Psalm 5:5, God hates all the workers of iniquity, not some of them, all of them. God hated our Adamic life and had to put it to death. He's not here to embrace it. He's not here because he loves it. He's here because, and this was about 2000, maybe 15, 14. God really started opening my eyes in around 2014 to why we had to die, and that I wasn't really believing what the Word of God actually teaches about the cross. I was thinking God wanted to bless my life, and I wanted him to bless it. And I think I believe in God wants to prosper me, and I was expecting to go from level to level of success. And all of it was false. I didn't really contemplate, understand, grasp the true meaning of the cross and why I had to die. But I was grasping it then, and I began to preach it in tears and in love. And I said, listen, God did this. God hates the life we were born with, but he put us to death to give us a chance so we can have the life of Jesus. And oh my goodness, they were so upset. He knew I was telling the truth, my brother that died. But his wife, you talk about offended, deeply offended. She brought her family to church, and I told them God hated them. That's all she could remember and all she could say. I was thinking, why? And I really expected that. I thought the message was beautiful. It wasn't the all God hates you. It was all about how God has given us the life of Jesus. He took our life and put it to death so we can have the life of the Lord of all. Oh my God, to me it was an amazing message. And I was even asking God, why did they not receive it? It was so wonderful. And he's, listen, the life of Adam, it never, think about this, even in church, in Christian church, we never talk about how we are seated at the right hand. All things belong to us. That we are one with Jesus Christ, that we have the keys, that we have been raised up. And why don't we talk about that? It doesn't mean anything to us. Why? Because that's not what we are living for. It's not what we want. What do we talk about? We talk about how God wants to bless our life and how if we live for him, we're going to have golden streets one day and mansions. And I mean, it's why? Because this is what the first Adam wants. And the first Adam cannot comprehend, nor does it even mean anything to him, what is reserved for the last Adam, what belongs to the last Adam. The first one, it doesn't mean anything to him. It doesn't move him. It's not what he's looking for, not what he's after. So when I preached a message for the first 20 minutes about how God hates the life of the first Adam, and the last half of the message was how much God has in store for the last, the first could not even hear the last part because that doesn't mean anything to the first Adam. What means something to the first Adam is what God thinks about my life now, what God's going to do for my life now, how God's going to bless me if I try to do right. That's what the first Adam wants to know. He doesn't want to know why he had to die and what God has in store for Jesus. He doesn't see himself as one with Jesus. He doesn't see Jesus as his identity. He doesn't see it. He has no sight. He has no revelation to be able to see that. And so, oh my goodness, it wounded that woman deeply when she brought her kids to church and I told them that God hates their life. And she didn't hear the second half, neither did they. And from that point on, my relationship with her was on the rocks, to say the very least. And then I told her about a year after that, around 2015 or in 2016, I believe, she was going to this prophecy conference. And all these prophets, I know them. I was raised with them in church. And they have prophesied falsely over and over and over. And all of their prophecies are about how God's going to give us the victory and God's going to, America's God's chosen, you know, country and all this stuff. And I began to find out that that stuff wasn't true. It wasn't real. It was our own Adamic religion made up to make us feel good about ourselves and about everything we want to happen. And I told her, she come in from one of these conferences, I said, how long are you going to keep believing people who have prophesied falsely year after year and everything they say is going to happen doesn't happen? Oh man, she got upset. And I wasn't angry at her. And she said, everything you say is negative. And that was it. It was over. But I went to this funeral yesterday and I was so offended. I got in the flesh major. I even left before. I was going to go to the graveside. I didn't even do it. I got up as soon as it was over and walked out, even pulled out of the funeral procession. I didn't even go to the graveside. And I was big time in the flesh, big time offended. And I was heard the Lord this morning. I got up and he said, I've called you. Or no, this is what he said. He said, who will go outside the camp with me? He was reminding me of the scriptures. And I said to myself, yeah, outside the camp of the camp. And I was saying it almost facetiously, but it's actually the truth. When Jesus talked about who will go outside the camp with me, what camp was he talking about? Was he talking about the camp of drunkards, the camp of fornicators? No, he was talking about the camp of the synagogue, the camp of the temple, the camp of the religious people, the camp of the Pharisee, the camp of those who believe in God and serve God because they want him to bless their life. Friend, they will never receive a true prophet, ever. They will never receive the true gospel. If you tell a religious Christian that God hates their life, and he put it to death, and he's not here to bless it. He came to crucify it. And if they don't hate it and reject it, then they cannot have the life of Jesus. Friend, they will not be your friend. They will not be your friend. They're not going to go, oh, wow, brother, that's powerful. What a great revelation. No, they're going to hate you. Why will they hate you? God told me a while back when he started showing me all this, he said, if you hate the life of Adam, it will hate you back. Jesus said the same thing. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. He told me, if you hate the life of Adam, it will hate you back. And I'm always surprised when it does. It's just amazing because I'm expecting people to be able to understand the truth because it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. He's all things belong to us in Christ. All things in Christ. They're all ours. But what people don't want to receive is we had to die. We did die. And we must hate our own and reject it. Or we can't have what belongs to Christ. They can't handle the first part. Sure, they want to think all things belong to us. But then they're believing God to bless their life and they're walking in the natural man. So they cannot hear. They will not hear the true message. And if you keep preaching it, they will kill you. Dead, just like they did Jesus, just like they did him. It has never changed. It never will change. Adam is still Adam. Religious people are still religious, exactly like it was when Jesus told, God told me that like 25 years ago, and I didn't get it. He said, when I come again, it'll be just like the first time I came, just as I'm sharing this scripture. When he comes, it will be just as in the days of Noah. People were loving their life. Adam didn't understand the truth until the water swept him away. Most Christians will never really understand the true gospel until the fire comes, until it burns up everything, until the judgment comes, until the great tribulation is here. They will not understand. They've been duped. They won't understand how they were trying to get God to bless their life, how they were trying to live for God so they could get to heaven. They won't understand why they had to die and what Jesus actually did at the cross until they are in great fear and torment, and then suddenly it will all make sense to them, which is exactly what happened to me. And it's exactly what's going to happen to every Adam who doesn't find out the truth here. It's going to happen when they hit the fire, when the water sweeps them away, so to speak. It won't happen with water again. It'll happen with fire, it says in 2 Peter. It'll happen with fire. And when that comes, then and only then will they finally understand what the real message is. And then through fire, many of them will be saved. Through tribulation, many of them will be saved. Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. Somebody's going to be sharing the gospel when all of this great tribulation is happening. And if it's true, and I believe it is, that the true manifest sons will be taken out of the world before the wrath of God is fully revealed. I believe that. You can call it the rapture, whatever you want to call it. But today, what people are preaching a rapture, they think all the Christians are going to get out of here. When Christians, most of them, the vast majority of them, do not believe anything even close to the true message of the cross. Not even close. They're not walking in the life. They're not rejecting themselves. They're certainly not doing what Jesus did in greater. Oh my, neither am I. We've all got to press in. The Bible said they were all sleeping. All of them were. And there was an awakening, and some had oil and some didn't. So there's coming a great awakening, but at the same time, there's coming a great falling away. And may the Holy Ghost give us the oil. Holy Ghost is always the same. He's the one to teach us the truth. If we haven't listened, if we haven't heard what he's saying, if we haven't spent any time with him, we won't understand until the fire comes, until it burns us up, until the hailstones fall out of the sky, 100 pounds each. And then we'll begin to understand God is not for us. He's not for the life of Adam. We quote that scripture, God be for you, who can be against you? He's talking about those who've hated their life. those who've rejected the life of Adam, those who are laying hold of the life of Jesus, those who are suffering as a result of hating the life of Adam and turning to the life of the last. That if God be for you, who can be against you, is not for the life of the first Adam. It's not for the Pharisee. It's not for the religious person. It's not for the good man. It's for the man who stands at a distance and beats upon his chest and says, have mercy on me. I'm a work of iniquity. Oh God, I see what I am. Oh my goodness. May God open our eyes, because friend, the last days are upon us. They're not coming. They're upon us. And I don't have any doubt the coming of the Lord is soon. It is soon. And the awakening, I believe, is soon. The falling away is already taking place. Many, 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 not some, many mega church pastors now do not believe in hell, even the ones that aren't preaching that. They won't preach that because they'll lose their congregation. They're waiting until their congregation believes what they believe, and then it'll start coming out. And many are already doing it, even publicly. They say hell is not a real place. God would never send people to be suffering and torment forever. It doesn't even make sense. It's not real. It's symbolic. It's what we create on the earth. Oh my goodness, this teaching is rampant in the body of Christ, extremely rampant. The rejection of the penal substitution now is probably the majority now of preachers and Christians who do not believe that Jesus suffered the wrath of God for us. They don't believe that. They can't conceive that God would pour out his wrath on his own son. They say we misunderstand it. They say the cross is God's love for our life, not the crucifixion of it. And I mean, I've heard so many preachers, and it sounds so wonderful. They say, oh, this old-fashioned religion, how much God hated us and how bad of a sinner we are. Friend, he didn't go to the cross because he hated us. He went to the cross because he loves us. Oh, my goodness, that sounds wonderful. That sounds like the truth, but it's not the truth. He didn't go to the cross because he loves Adam, because he loves our life. He went to the cross because he does love our spirit, but not because he loves our life. The life we have is his enemy. He didn't go to the cross because he wants to embrace it or because he loves it. He went to the cross to crucify it. Why? Because he loves our spirit. He loves our being, and he wants to give us a chance, though most won't take it. He wants to give us a chance to have the life of the last Adam. That's why he did it. And friend, if we look at the cross as an instrument of God's acceptance for our life, then we have been duped. We've been deceived. It's not his acceptance for our life. It is his rejection of our life. And if we'll believe what he did with it, and we'll agree with him about it, and hate it also, then we can be partakers of his own divine nature, of his own life. We can have Jesus if we don't want Adam. That's the simple gospel message. And what a wonderful message it is. If we are all condemned, it's a wonderful message. If the Bible's true, if we are all under condemnation, if we are all headed for hell, then the best news we've ever heard, the best news there could ever be, is that there's a chance to escape it. There's a way out. But there's only one. And it is the life of Jesus. It's not Christianity. When Jesus said, I am the way, he's not talking about the new religion I'll start as the way. He's saying, I am the life. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Apart from me, no man can go to the Father. No man can get to the Father. There is no way to the Father except through the life of Jesus. And there's no way to get the life of Jesus except for hating the life of the first Adam and rejecting it and identifying with what he did with it and believing that and confessing that and entering into the power of that. Oh my goodness, they didn't understand until the water came and swept them all away. I don't want to receive revelation when the fire comes and burns us all up. I want to receive revelation now. Amen. And I thank God for the fire that he's allowed in my life, the trials and the tribulation and the discouragement and the disillusionment and the pain. I thank God for all of it because it's given me a chance to see and to believe what the real gospel is. And I pray in Jesus' name, he'll do the same for you. And he'll use you to share with other people, to plant the seeds of truth in other people's hearts, so that when they do, they won't believe you if things are going well. They won't believe you if they love their life. They won't believe you if they want to preserve their life. They're going to hate you. They're going to reject you. They're going to despise you. And I'm not talking about the drunkard. I mean the Christian. They're going to hate you. They're going to reject you. You're going to be outside the camp of the camp. But friend, you're not planting seeds in their life so that you can have favor and you can be their friend. You're trying to save them from the pit. And when the fire comes and when the tribulation arises in their own life, those seeds that you've planted will begin to sprout, and they will see what you were saying was the truth. We don't hate anybody. We hate everybody. We hate ourselves. We hate the life of Adam, but we don't hate any individuals. We don't pick and choose these bad people, those bad people. When we're all the same thing, and if we tell the truth, we tell it in humility because we expose our own iniquity when we do so. We said, listen, this is what we all are. This is why we all had to die. And if we believe a lie, if we believe a lie, we will perish. We will suffer. We will go into the fire. Oh my God, may God open our eyes and give us a revelation of the true work of the cross until we genuinely hate our own life and reject it. Until we genuinely reject the life of our mother and father, our brother, our sister, our wife, our children. Oh my goodness, God said something to me today. I don't even know if I want to repeat it. But very few will hear this, and I just encourage you to ask God for wisdom, not just to repeat this, but the Holy Spirit said something to me. He said, if you had the keys of hell, would you get your own children out if they were still my enemies? And I had never, ever, ever thought of something like that. When he told me the truth, he showed me the keys and he showed me the seat at the right hand. He said, this belongs to you, but you can never access it as long as you think there's something of value within yourself. He showed me that. What keys does Jesus have? We are, friend, the Bible said the church is the fullness of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, it's right at the end, like verse 30, I believe. The church is. We are one. We are his flesh and his bones. We've been raised up and seated with him. If he's got the keys, we've got the keys. If we are truly in Christ, if we've truly rejected Adam, then we have the same authority he has. We have the keys he has. We have the life that he has. And the Lord asked me, and I realized in my fleshly natural life, sure I would use the keys to get my kids out. Sure I would use the keys to get my wife out. Why? Because I'm more concerned about their life than I am about the kingdom in my natural life. Of course I would. Of course I would use those keys. That's why I had to die. For Jesus will not use the key to release the unrepentant enemy of God. He will never do it. The only way someone can enter into the kingdom is to truly repent, to truly see what they really are, and to fully and truly reject it, to reject Adam and see what it is, and hate it rather than God. Because the life of the first Adam hates God, even though it says it doesn't, even though it says it loves God. It does not love God. And when it really sees him and sees their children burning and themselves burning and the ones that they thought were good burning, they will expose all their hatred for him and find out what they really are. The Lord said to me, would you use the keys to get them out? Because my family right now, one of my kids for sure, is completely rebelled against everything that's godly. And basically spit in my face and turned against everything I've ever taught. And I don't want her to go to hell at all. But I was thinking, if she was there, would I use the keys to get her out? And really, this morning as I was in God's presence and his spirit began to flow, I know I wouldn't. If I'm in Christ, I wouldn't. If I'm walking in his life, I wouldn't even let my own daughter out if she didn't repent. Why? She would destroy the kingdom of God. But how in the world could we ever get to such a place? You can only come to the place where you would truly do the will of the Father when you legitimately reject the life of Adam and see what it is. Now, I believe for my daughter. I believe she's going to repent. I believe she's going to find out what her life is. She's going to reject it, and God will finish the good work he's begun in her. But I have to face the fact that if I truly reject my own life and become one with Jesus, then I cannot, would not allow, would not use the keys to release someone who is an enemy of God from the pit of hell. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Why? Because I would understand the real truth fully, walking in the life of Jesus. You know, the Bible says in the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the new earth, that hell will actually be exposed, that people can go and look into it and see the enemies of God burning. Oh my goodness. They can see the enemies of God burning. That's intense. If you don't know where that's at, ask me. I'll find it in the scripture for you. It's there for sure. They will say, I've preached that several times in the past. It's in one of the prophets. Well, they will go and look and see the enemies of God burning. Oh my goodness, God have mercy. May the Lord open our eyes to the real truth, that we would genuinely reject the life of Adam, even if our parents have it, our best friend has it, if everybody around us wants to hang on to it, that we would be willing to be their enemy to truly walk in the life of God. In Jesus' name, God bless you.